For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Woo! My boy's back, man.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. Final hour for us, brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Get back into the big story of the day in just a couple of minutes. Obviously, the continued reaction to the Falcons' loss to the Steelers on Sunday. Raheem Morris, coach's show last night, had a chance to talk about a lot of it with Dave Archer. We'll play a little bit of it coming up in just a couple of minutes. Brandon Adams is going to join us, talk some Georgia football ahead of their first conference game Saturday. Yeah. Traveling up there to Lexington.
And this is the one, because it's a conference game, you have to disclose. What's it called again?
Injury report, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, availability report or whatever they call it. That's a new rule in the SEC this year. Obviously, Kentucky and South Carolina would have had to have done it last week.
Right.
Georgia hasn't had to do it yet this year because they played Clemson and then Tennessee Tech. So I guess we'll find out about Michael Williams, for sure.
Yes.
We
ain't got nothing to hide. What was that? We didn't get to that audio.
Wonder what they would have done with ETN had they played an SEC team week one.
They would have said he was eligible but didn't play him.
Okay.
I guess.
I don't know. Honestly don't know.
What does it say? It's Kirby Smart on why UGA tape is good for the NFL. I saw that. I was like, really?
He had a great quote. It's a very good flex.
Very. And that's the thing about it. It is. It's like, the NFL tells you. Let me hear, Bo.
Let's hear from Kirby.
All you got to do is talk to one NFL person, and they'll tell you that they'd much rather have quality over quantity. They'd much rather judge you on the plays you play. And they'd much rather you be training at Georgia than anywhere else.
And that's the flex. Because what he's talking about, and if Trayvon Walker isn't what that quote was, then I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Trey Walker went the number one overall pick and did not even
– Yeah, in a rotation.
In a rotation. Yeah. It was the number one overall pick.
With no stats to speak of.
That's what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, Trayvon played his ass
he
off
did.
In Miami.
He played really, really well really in week good. One, which
played,
is great.
Yeah, played really good in Miami. But that's what he's talking about, those guys, Trayvon Walker, guys like that. He was in a deep rotation, and was the number one pick in the damn draft.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's talking about.
What he's talking about, and he's proven right about it by guys like that being drafted, but then also going on to have success.
Yes.
The guy has to have success, too, to sort of validate it.
True.
But, I mean, the question really was about transfers and trying to convince guys not to leave and stuff like that. And obviously him saying it is a flex, but he's just repeating something that he's hearing from scouts.
Yes.
They're like, because they have practice tape, right? They can look at that when they're scouting a player to draft him in the NFL. Like, we'd rather watch a guy go up against what you guys are doing there than have him transfer wherever and play against mediocre. We know you can beat mediocre competition. We don't care. You're not going to be playing mediocre competition when we draft you to play for the Lions or whatever.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We want to see you play against other guys that might be in the NFL. Obviously, staying in the SEC would be great to do that, but playing against your Georgia teammates – that we talked about this all year last year was the hardest competition they were going to have. Now, that's not true this year.
Right.
This year, they got to go to Tuscaloosa, and they got to go to Austin. They're going to play. Like, they have a much harder schedule.
Yes.
We'll talk to Brandon Adams about all that coming up in 15 minutes. But, yeah, I mean, can you convince a kid not to go somewhere if he's going to get more NIL money because he's going to play more?
No.
Or, I mean, people want to play.
I have no problem with these young men wanting to go play.
But I'm always impressed because, like, it would just be so easy to be Kirby right now and just sort of lay back and be like, I mean, we built it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just keep the machine rolling. He's always got these new little extra
nuggets.
Arguments
yes.
for why it's why here is the
nuggets.
Best. Because people go, I go someplace else and play more. Well, yeah, but the scouts say quantity over quality or whatever he said.
Right here.
That's very well done. He's always recruiting. Yeah. Always recruiting.
Right here, little homie.
The AMA at 140 as well. Get your questions ready. Get the phone lines open. You can text us or tweet us as well. But let's kick things off with the big story of the day. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
It's just really the whole offense when you look at those guys, right? You're talking about a bunch of superstars across the board, the Slim Reaper, A.J. Brown. You got Saquon out there. You got they just traded for for Dotson. They got a bunch of guys out there. They got the biggest offensive line in the history of the game. You know, they got a brand new center, and it's going to create a really challenge for us. And Hurts was the run-up in MVP just a year ago, whatever the case may be. So they got a good offense. So we got to get up in the lab right now, and that's what today and tomorrow is about.
Exactly.
They do.
Exactly.
They do, and they got a nice new weapon at running back over there as well.
I think that's the one right there. You put him – because they had good running backs, but this guy's just – he's just on another level.
Yeah.
And then you put him with A.J. Brown, who – I know one of my partners just texted me and said, how did I think A.J. played in the game on Sunday? A.J. was fine. He, I mean, he's going to give up plays to Pickens. Pickens is going to beat everybody. And then you
A.J. Terrell.
Yeah, A.J. Terrell. Okay. Yeah, my partner just hit me and asked me about that. But then you look at it from this standpoint there. A.J. Brown, he gave – oh, boy. The damn corner from Green Bay.
Jaire Alexander.
Yeah. I mean, mossed him and then ran away from him.
Yeah.
Then you got – reliable as Devontae Smith, is as reliable as they come. You got Goddard. You got a big-ass offensive line, like he was saying. Mm-hmm. And then you got a dual-threat quarterback with another monster in the background. These dudes, if the Falcons play, we said at the beginning of the show, if the Falcons play like they played on Sunday, which I don't think they will, Andy. I got to believe that they can adjust off of that, but I need to see it.
They have to.
They have to. Because if they don't, they're going to get blown the hell out. Mm-hmm. They're going to get blown.
Because as good as the defense played against Pittsburgh, Philly's putting touchdowns on the board.
Yes, and I put field goals.
They're going to score 24 points on you, even if you have a pretty good day. 21. It could be worse than that.
And the thing with it is that Jalen turned the ball over still. Mm-hmm. That was his big thing on Friday. He turned the ball over, but yet Green Bay wasn't able to capitalize on that. Now, we know this. Falcons that take care of the football, that's okay, whatever. But they got to figure out a way to move the football and possess it. They don't have a T.J. Watt up there. You can get out this back end. You can get out the Phillies back end with the corners. I mean, I know the young. I mean, you got Slay and then the other young kid,
Avonte Maddox.
But you can make plays on the secondary. But you got to contain a couple dudes up front. And the biggest one is that boy who.
Number 90.
That guy.
Yeah.
Number 98.
Is he 98?
I thought Jalen Carter's 98.
Sorry. Jordan Davis is number 90. Jalen Carter's 98.
That guy right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, man.
He's really good.
He's a disruptor.
He's playing a little bit more this year than he did last year, too.
Yeah, he wore down a little bit.
He did.
He wore
but
down
he was
a
in
bit.
That rotation yeah. last year because they had more guys. Some other guys left and retired and stuff like that. Like
that's when you got to – that's when –
that's when you step
that's
in.
That's when the maturity of an NFL player, when they are called upon to play 75 plays. All right, let's get it. Let's get right. Because it's a big difference playing in the rotation as a second guy, even if he was starting last year. But, I mean, being the main focus up front, it comes with a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, and again, here's the thing. Like, I know that we're turning the page from what happened last week to what happened this week, and certainly there's not a – doesn't seem like there's a defensive player of the year candidate. I wouldn't be surprised if someday Jalen Carter is a defensive player of the year candidate.
With the young at the linebacking core, with N'Kobe.
But guys can look like they're that good against you if you don't play well that day. Like, T.J. Watt's going to look like that against a lot of teams this weekend or this season. I would assume they'll have a little bit of a different plan than the Falcons did, but maybe not. Maybe everybody will just single block him and see if they can
You know how much Sean Payton hates the Falcons. I know he's loving this film now.
Oh, absolutely. What are they doing?
What about
look at this crap. If you have the same type of performance against Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, I mean, Josh Sweat's a good edge rusher. Nolan Smith's over there. They got a million Georgia guys. Mm-hmm. N'Kobe Dean's looking pretty good. Like, we'll be talking about how good that defense played, too.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, they're not the same as Pittsburgh's defense, but if the Falcons play offensively like they did on Sunday, they're going to look good.
They're going to make
every defense in the NFL look good if they play like that. Maybe that defense made the Falcons' offense look like that, and that's what we have to hope. That's what you said in the 1 o'clock hour, was you felt like after going back and looking at it last night, 65% of the issues were caused by Pittsburgh being great.
It might be more.
I hope it is.
It might be more.
I hope it is.
I mean, they played well. They played well and was able to take them, and I'm talking about the Falcons, out of any rhythm offensive. Now, when you go back to the practice time, the film, no creativity in the game plan. Why was there no creativity in the game plan? I don't know. You just don't know. But for you to be an offensive coordinator in the NFL and you don't do anything to offset what they're doing, which is basically telling their best player to go kick your not best player's ass for 60 minutes and you don't do nothing to adjust to help him. You did it a couple times. No, he can't block him.
Clearly.
He can't block
him. Clearly.
Okay.
And again, Okay. He's not a rookie.
He's not a rookie.
He's been in the NFL for a while.
Block
We've
him.
Seen it.
You know
We've
what? Okay. It. He beat him on a run play one time. So?
Well, do it again.
Do
then.
It again.
Run then. Do that. Run at him.
Run at him.
Yeah, run at him and take advantage of it. Yeah. No, it's very frustrating. A lot of what do they say? You learn better from whatever mistakes or failure or whatever. Plenty of failure tape to look at.
Oh, yeah.
From that one.
This was
a lot of learning.
Offensively, this was not a pretty tape to watch.
No, yesterday. Nobody enjoyed that.
Nobody wanted to sit there and look and watch this tape.
No.
Especially offensively. No. But you need to, because you need to look at it. And the biggest thing you need to do is what can I do better? All right. What can Drake London do better? Because they said that I saw a meme this morning. He was on Joey Porter Jr. Island. His face, bam. Little bit of stick figure him with his face on it.
They had a whole island made up?
They had a little island, Andy. Wow. Said JPI.
Okay, now, if 8 weeks from now there's seven other guys on that island, yeah. Like, okay, maybe Joey Porter does that to guys.
Right.
I'm not ready to say that about
him
yet. I think Drake London's supposed to go out there and be able to compete with anybody.
Anybody. Now, that goes with anything. Separation. You know, the hardest thing to do when we're talking about separating routes a lot of times is when there's no threat of, like, a verticality, right? Mm-hmm. And so what they're going to do is they're going to sit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to muddy up everything.
They're going to do the same thing.
Just like they did. And yep. Kirk can't be back there burping the baby.
Yep.
He can't be back there burping the baby.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, we're going to find out more answers to a lot of the questions that you have coming out of Sunday. Reasonable questions about why the offense looked the way that it looked and they called plays the way that they called plays. I mean, was that just simply the game plan that they thought was going to work? Why didn't they adjust when clearly it wasn't? Kirk Cousins not being under center just is very confusing and leads you to wonder what's going on with Kirk Cousins, which obviously Raheem Morris was asked about yesterday and said he's fine.
Then
we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Because time will tell. Because the thing about it is oh God, I'm going to say it again. This whole Rams thing, it might not be the Falcons. Don't bring the Rams offense. Make the Falcons offense. I firmly believe that. I know they wanted to be an 11 personnel. This thing we talked to Joe Patrick and everybody out there. They want to be an 11 personnel team. They could not be an 11 personnel team yesterday.
You needed to have two tight ends.
I would have rather had Kyle Pitts running routes of a slot receiver than Ray McCloud.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means that Charlie Warner is in helping.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's an adjustment that you make to slow that down to maybe.
I feel like there's a lot of times there's stuff you want to do going into a game, and then you kind of figure out what you can't do, and then you adjust.
And thank you.
And they didn't do it.
They didn't do it.
Yeah. Well,
the adjustment was having
eight
Kyle.
Days. Not anymore. We're on to Philly.
There he is.
We're on to
New football Aaron. Season, new Aaron Rodgers.
All right. His little thing on the TV says Super Bowl champ, 4 times NFL MVP. Ayahuasca enthusiast. That's pretty good. Well done. Brandon Adams is going to join us next. I doubt he's an ayahuasca enthusiast. I'm just going to go out on a limb on that one. Maybe not. I'll ask him. We'll find out. We're going to talk some Georgia football with Brandon Adams next on Sports Radio 92.9.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The game.
Ooh, you and me go fishing in the dark. Lying on a back saying counting stars with
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here, Tuesday afternoon. 20 minutes away from the AMA. Phone lines will be open at 404-726-0929. Get your questions ready. Text us or tweet us as well. Final hour of the show is always brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. 120 on Tuesdays means Brandon Adams joins the show, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily as well. B.A., how are you?
What up, B.?
Good to be with you guys. Hope you're doing great.
Yeah, we are. And certainly looking forward to Georgia getting into some SEC games coming up this weekend. I do want to ask you, though, just like as somebody who does a show, Georgia football specific, every single day, like there's easy ones like Clemson to build up and talk about and react to and all that. Like how do you evaluate a game like Saturday where everybody knew what was going to happen and then it happened? Like what are the storylines that come out of that game?
Yeah, I think probably not very much. I mean, you know, you want to go back to even like a national championship season in 2022, you know, Georgia didn't play all that great against the lesser teams like Kent State, Samford that year, but was, you know, A-plus against the teams that matter most. So from that standpoint, yeah, I was kind of on guard for less than a stellar performance from Georgia. The truth is, I guess the one big takeaway I did have was they did get off to a faster start offensively. And once I saw that, I sort of figured that whatever happened after that probably doesn't matter very much. You know, frankly, I don't know that the feeling for me is all that different going on the road to Kentucky, you know, here this week, where once again, you know, as long as Georgia wins, even if it's not quite a thing of beauty, you know, it's probably not an excessively important data point ahead of, like, the games that truly matter at Alabama in 2 weeks and, of course, everything after that. You know, this is sort of that thing of Georgia showed what it needed to against the major opponent, Clemson, and the next time it really is sort of gut check time probably is the game coming up against Alabama.
What did you think of the new running back? I mean, he was Etienne. I mean, I know, again, we know who it is, but just watching him in that red and black, what was some of your impressions of that?
Well, it definitely added more fuel to this idea that when it's all said and done, this could be as potent a group of running backs as Georgia's had in some time. And I think that the passing game, the suspicion I have, it's probably still a little bit of a work in progress. So maybe we see more of Georgia running backs on Saturday, especially if the weather is as bad as it perhaps could be. But when you start thinking about, okay, well, a passing game that, you know, could be about as good as Georgia's had with a running game that could be better than at least what it's had in recent years, then that's obviously the building blocks of the offense. So for people who are excited about finally seeing Etienne, I certainly think he gave plenty of reason for that excitement with the way he played against the overmatched team. And now you sort of start trying to imagine, okay, well, what do all these pieces look like if they get put together at the same time?
What are you, beyond obviously the weather, which could be a factor for sure, what are you thinking about Saturday? I mean, Vandegrift, former Georgia Bulldog.
Dumas over there too, right?
Okay.
That's right. Yeah, the linebacker, Jamon Dumas Johnson.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is, I mean, Kirby Smart's been the coach of Georgia since 2016, and if I've got my facts right, they've only covered the spread in one game prior to an off week. This is one of those things where, you know, Georgia just sort of, I mean, I hate to use a phrase like load management because, you know, you don't want college football to be kind of NBA-ified like that. But, I mean, there is a little bit of a thing where if there are players on the fence about playing this week, my guess is they don't play. And what's weird is a lot of these sort of games before off weeks always come against Kentucky. That's usually late in the season prior to playing Florida. Just so happens that this year it's a weird kind of calendar anomaly where there's two off weeks, and lo and behold, Georgia also plays Kentucky early this year. So a lot of the ugly games that Georgia's played against Kentucky, never losses, but, you know, still nonetheless, you know, games closer than experts thought they were supposed to be. For whatever reason, a lot of those games have come against Kentucky. So, once again, I'm sort of on guard for it to maybe not be a thing of beauty on Saturday. But obviously, I'd be shocked if Kentucky had a chance to win the game late.
Yeah, I mean, the big story definitely is Bach Vandegrift and I won't say his return because they're actually going to see him and everything. But when you look at his recruiting BA and as far as when he was a recruit, when people were trying to sign him to Georgia, did you ever think that we were going to see him play at another school other than Kentucky? Because I always thought he was going to be the starter. I did, from what everybody was telling me. I thought he was better than Carson Beck. Never seen him, but I always thought he was better.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly had high hopes for him when he first came in. And, like, I think he had a legitimate chance to win this job prior to the start of the 2023 season. And I do think that, you know, I think that there were some people around the program that liked, you know, Bach Vandegrift. They thought he was doing a pretty good job. He's clearly got a pretty impressive skill set. But in the case of Beck, I mean, I do think when it was all said and done, you know, he won the job decisively enough that he was the clear, you know, obvious choice. And obviously his play last year, I think, kind of validated the choice that Georgia made. The truth is, you know, I have to be honest about this, Vandegrift did not play very well last week. Now, a lot of that's also because Kentucky may have as bad an offensive line as they've had in quite some time. But, you know, I mean, this is a Kentucky team that has been pretty competitive more years than not under Mark Stoops as of late. And, you know, they lost as like a 10-point favorite against South Carolina on Saturday. You know, there's just a chance that, you know, Mark Stoops, fresh off almost taking the Texas A&M job, fan revolt prevented that from happening. Maybe it's kind of coming unraveled here in Lexington a little bit. And, you know, maybe Georgia can be the beneficiary of, getting a chance to exploit that this week, much like South Carolina did a week ago.
Brandon Adams joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast. Talk with him every single Tuesday about Georgia Bulldogs football. You made an interesting point on your podcast yesterday, and then Randy brought it up earlier as well, just about how the way the teams that Georgia are going to play on their schedule later in the season have started the season. It might even be looking – Georgia's got a hard schedule, no doubt. The schedule might even look harder today than it did when the season started.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that what Texas did at Michigan was a real significant accomplishment. You know, the old school Texas is back, that's a meme we've used to make fun of Texas for being perpetually overrated. I don't think you can use that anymore. I think that has now gone out of style. This is back-to-back years. They've won on the road in September against top 10 ranked teams. That's a real thing. And, you know, Tennessee, I don't care what you want to say about NC State, you know, probably not going to be confused with the 85 Bears in anybody's mind. Tennessee won that game by about 40 points on a neutral site, and they did so with defense. That's the one thing that in the Josh Heupel era, you know, not only was Tennessee not playing defense, we didn't even know how much defense was even possible, just given you had to pair it with, you know, a very fast-paced offense, which is not always a great mix. You know, I think that Tennessee's probably not on Georgia's level, but I think that Tennessee's one of the better teams in the SEC right now, and obviously Georgia has to tangle with them in November. That I think both Texas and Tennessee made pretty significant statements on Saturday, and if you're a UGA fan because you play them both, I think you got to notice that.
What do you think about what happened down there on the plains down there?
Well, I think that Auburn is getting ready for a big run in 2025. I just think they knew they didn't have it this year, and that may not be the only – now, listen, I picked Auburn in the game because they typically play well in Jordan-Hare Stadium, but this is just a bad football team. And they stay with Peyton Thorne at quarterback because I guess they just knew they were going to be bad. But they're also recruiting pretty well. You know, Hugh Freeze is good at the talent acquisition game. My guess is somehow, some way, it's a very different-looking Auburn team in 2025. But this may end up being one of the worst teams in the league here this year, and yet they may suffer through that with the belief that it can be far better next season.
How do you think this what is it, injury reports or availability report or whatever it's called ahead of SEC games? How do you think Georgia's going to handle it? Obviously, they have to as a part of the league. How do you think the ETN thing would have gone week one had they been playing an actual SEC opponent?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly been a pretty hot topic around Georgia as of late about exactly how that might would have been handled. My theory is that Kirby will take a little bit of a page from the old Bill Belichick book, where obviously Kirby doesn't reveal too much, and so therefore he may reveal a lot from having to avoid having to have the thing that he doesn't want revealed noticed. In other words, we may
everybody's
see a pretty
questionable.
Long list of names.
Everybody's questionable.
A lot of probable. It just may be one of those deals where, like, they're just putting out all kinds of information as a way of sort of flooding the zone. I think they may do that. But as you touched on this, it's really important to keep in mind it is an availability report and not an injury report. All it tells us is so-and-so likely to play or not. But the most important question is, okay, well, how hurt is he, and how much does his injury hamper his ability to contribute? And we're not getting that information, but if you're a gambler or just a fan of the team, that's the thing that really matters most, and we're obviously not going to learn any of that from these availability reports, kind of the same way we don't get that in the NFL either.
Yeah, I had a quick question. I don't know if we ever asked you about this, but you just mentioned the Tennessee and NC State game, obviously Georgia here playing. How do you feel about neutral site off-campus games?
Well, the one thing about them is they're just easier to schedule because it only requires getting 1 year and you get money for it. So, if there wasn't the game in Atlanta, then we probably wouldn't have seen Georgia play Oregon a couple of years ago, and it would be much harder to schedule a game like Georgia and Clemson. And look, in future years, I think it's still very much to be determined how much non-conference football we see. And I hate to say it this way, but in the future, will a team that mostly plays on ESPN even be willing to play a team that mostly plays on Fox? Kind of like the old school boxing thing where you're either an HBO boxer or a Showtime boxer. I sort of worry that college football could eventually go in that direction. I hope that's not the case because I do think non-conference games are fun. But while it's probably better to play on campus, I believe it is, the neutral site games are easier to schedule because it's just for 1 year and you get a good bit of money. So I think the presence of those games, the neutral site, gives us better football week one, week two than we would typically get. It'd be great to play these games on campus, but that ends up being a pretty hard thing to sort of figure out.
Did what Clemson did to App State on Saturday night change the week one win at all for you, make it even a little bit better?
I mean, I think it is a little bit more impressive. I didn't expect Clemson to come out and play that well offensively against App State. It's a pretty good group of five team.
Neither did my wife.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got the tie there to that. Well, I hate that for the Bunker household. I thought it kind of bolstered the quality of the win there a little bit. Clemson did a nice job of bouncing back. And just a reminder of all the statements that have been made thus far this season, including Texas on the road against the national champs, the best win to date to begin this year was Georgia against Clemson in Atlanta. I feel confident in saying that.
Brandon, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Always great to be with you guys.
Brandon Adams there, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily as well. Joins us every single Tuesday at this time to talk Georgia football. And, yeah, it'll be, you know, he's probably right about how Kirby's going to handle that. Yeah. Probably not going to learn.
Everybody's limited.
Yeah, everyone's going to find a little way to game it. You're not actually good. So what's the point of it then?
I mean, I don't know if Bo's like that, but you and Abe are the gamblers. You tell us.
I like to gamble.
Yes.
It's not going to change my gambling, I don't think. I don't think I'm going to make a bet or not make a bet based on the availability report.
Why wouldn't you? Why?
Well, I mean,
somebody's a
good. Well, yeah, but you know, if you know a guy's going to play or not play, you already know that.
Right.
Right? Like, I think.
I don't know how to game the system in there.
Andy. I got insiders.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know how to game the system. That's why I don't bet. I don't put my money on no damn money.
I don't either. But I bet anyway.
Peyton Thorne.
We shouldn't have bet on Peyton Thorne.
Yeah.
Should have bet on Cal.
Yeah. They came in the SEC and won.
The last two times they've done it. They went to Ole Miss a couple years ago, beat them too. West Coast teams, we get slept on. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an AMA. Any question, any topic, phone lines are open. 404-726-0929. Ask us anything you want. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org. The AMA to wrap the show up every single day. Any question, any topic, we'll do our best to answer it. Final hour of the show is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at themancavestore.com. Full phone lines. Let's start with Chuck in Atlanta. Hey, Chuck.
What's up, Chuck?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good.
I had to get a call in because my family put me on probation for my month tomorrow because it's my 60th birthday.
There you go.
They said I couldn't get excited about Sports Talk Radio. Yeah, it's crazy, but they know I get excited and like to call and listen. They told me I was on probation tomorrow. But my question is, why in this country, and in sports in particular, do we procrastinate and wait for the last bit to try to do something? Why do we wait till the fourth quarter to blame somebody when you were holding and throwing interceptions and fumbling all the first three quarters? Why do we wait till the eighth and ninth inning and say you blew the game when you should have did what you're supposed to do the first few innings? Mm. And the same thing in life. We don't work Monday through Thursday, and then Friday we try to get a report out. It's ridiculous. And this for you, Randy. And one more thing.
Okay.
Why did I have to deal with a better-looking Matt Ryan with a stronger chin, but the same result? Y'all have a good one.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Think Kirk Cousins better-looking than Matt Ryan.
Really?
Huh. Now, I will say, deadlines spur action.
Uh-huh.
So that's why we wait till the end.
Right.
I was just reading a story about how Phil Knight probably would have gone with a different logo for Nike other than the swoosh.
Right.
If he would have had more time, but he was up against it and they had to meet some order of 3,000 shoes that he couldn't even afford to get made in the first place.
Uh-huh.
So he was like, screw it. Take this logo. He paid some design student $35 to make that design. Now, I have to hope she got some kickback on that. But if it wouldn't have been for the deadline, they never would have got the logo. Same thing with George Lucas writing Star Wars. He would have never turned in the script if the studio wouldn't have been giving him money and demanded that they start shooting it. He would have just been revising it to this day. So deadlines actually make people do stuff.
Chuck, you didn't say nothing about your team, Chuck. I thought that's why you called up here, Chuck.
We do say stuff that happens in the ninth inning is blowing the game, where sometimes you can blow the game in the first inning.
Okay.
We've seen people blow games early.
And we've seen them. But yet we wait till the end. You're right, Chuck. Happy birthday. You say tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
All right. Happy birthday, Chuck.
60.
60.
The big 6-0. When does it become the big? I guess any birthday you could say that, right?
Yeah, I think.
But it's got to be double digits.
Any birthday,
you can't say the big 7.
When I saw my baby girl, I said, "Look at Lily, big 4." I see that.
It doesn't roll off the tongue. The big 4.
The big 4.
It's got big 4-0.
Oh, I agree with that. But yeah. I do say Big Four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, did you give her that money I sent her?
It's, you know, it's in the family.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because I thought about you the other day. I was like,
hey, you know what I do with
that. I know I gave my gal a card with $5 in it.
Yeah, and I got some gas the next time. Yeah, there's what, I don't know, like a piggy bank or something. I don't know. Because people get a, like, they'll give her like money for like a bank account, because you got a bank account. And then there's old school folks like you that'll give her hard cash.
Yes.
So we got to find a place to put that.
Yeah, man.
And then maybe we can someday combine the two of them. All right, Ed's in Lawrenceville. Hey, Ed.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Hi, Ed.
Randy, you were an athlete in Miami, and you guys may have covered this earlier, but I'm just curious. I didn't hear your thoughts on the body cam footage with Tyreek Hill. What is your take on that whole situation?
Well, we talked about it yesterday before the body cam, and all the body cam did was confirm what I thought was going to happen. And so it was very irritating. And it's irritating the fact that people want to say, well, if he would have just did this, okay, fine, whatever. But that's not cool with me what happened to him. And it won't be. And I just think that, you know, everything could have been de-escalated. Jonnu and Calais were just calm as hell. And this guy just kept going and kept going and kept going. And kudos to them, because I don't know, because I say this all the time. There's a certain switch in mentality you have on a Sunday, and you see that stadium and your piss is hot. And I understand that. And for them to be the way they are, for Tyreek to get up and go over there and not show his ass and shake their hand and walk away, more restraint to me.
Yeah.
I thought that the videotape just confirmed what I already thought.
Well, now you have audio of it just being worse, like it just being more unacceptable.
Yeah.
And the police officers will probably get in trouble because it was Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
But
if it wasn't
stuff like
Hill,
that happens all,
happens
the time.
All the time.
That's what the frustration is. Stuff like that happens all the time, and usually it isn't to Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
Usually it's to some guy.
Yes.
And then nothing happens from that. And luckily nothing worse happened.
Yeah.
Honestly. Because sometimes worse stuff happens as well in those stops. So, yeah, I don't know.
It was irritating.
Adam is in Watkinsville. Hey, Adam.
Hello.
Hi, Adam. All right, Adam. We're going to give Adam. We're going to try again tomorrow, Adam.
Hey, I'm here.
We'll try again tomorrow. Danny is in North Atlanta. We got to be ready to go.
Come on, Adam.
You call a lot.
You know the deal, Danny.
Danny's in North Atlanta. What's up, Danny?
I'm here. Just some comments and a question. And I'm 65, not 60. I've been following this franchise for 60 years. And let me tell you something. And that had to be one of the worst days as a Falcons fan that I've ever had.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you something. Desmond Ridder, he's got more mobility and arm strength than Cousins does. And
what's his name?
Danny.
Danny, nobody's would ever argue with you about, yes, Desmond Ridder is more mobile and has a stronger arm than Kirk Cousins. Why was this game the one, though?
God, there's so many bad ones.
Yeah, there's so many bad ones.
The other comment is, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers played their guys in the preseason.
Yeah.
We did it, and I'm hearing, oh, we're scared to get hurt. You played at a high level, Randy. I just played high school football. I was never scared to get hurt. And my message is, if you're scared to get hurt, you should be playing football.
Hey, Danny, relax, homie.
Yeah.
The players aren't the ones saying they don't want to play. The
players aren't scared.
The players aren't scared. These are coaches and organizations of the decision.
I know.
Yeah.
One comment, then the question, I'm done.
Okay.
This guy, $100 million, $100 million, and my question is, if the Falcons have a losing season, will Raheem Morris be fired? Have a good day.
I don't think so. I mean, not after 1 year.
Oh, who was that again?
Danny
was hot.
Yeah, man.
Danny's right. Danny, it's not the player's decision not to play.
No. Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
Kirk Cousins even said it. He said, I want to play. They won't let me play.
I'm a football player. Let me go play.
Every guy wants to.
Yeah.
It's probably also okay for some guys to be like, I'm fine.
All right,
playing
whatever.
Season.
Yeah, but
it's not their decision.
We played.
It's the organization.
We played
decision.
And we didn't think about not playing, and it wasn't a running backs didn't play in the preseason back then. Like, Ricky never played. Steven Jackson didn't play. LT
Yeah,
didn't
no,
play.
There's a long history of different people not playing, but it's way more now.
Yeah, it's
and
way
no
more.
One plays at all.
Yeah.
And then you come out, and it's no secret that September NFL football is sloppy, because of that. Guys just aren't getting the same. And it's not only because of that. It's also, you guys used to practice twice a day.
Yes.
Now they practice once a day.
Yes.
Used to practice with pads a lot more. You're actually practicing football against one another. Also, on down the line, in college, they played much more of a style that represented the style of the NFL. In high school, it was very similar. There's a lot of different reasons why once you get to week one in the NFL, especially with these young guys, they don't look ready to play the style of football.
I don't think a lot of the Pittsburgh Steelers defenders played.
I don't know. The reason the Falcons lost the game is not because they didn't play in the preseason.
And I wish we would. No, don't do that, Randy. I wish that would be the case that people would believe.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Yes. It would be nice if they just win week one. They won week one last year.
Yep.
They just win week one and don't play like crap every once in a while. And then we don't have to have that conversation.
Yeah, because when they started losing games, it was. When they were 2-0 the preseason, they played that one drive. It was fine.
Yeah.
But then when they lost a couple more games, it was like, oh, well, the preseason would have got them more ready. But they were 2-0.
Yeah. Desmond Ridder was 2-0 last year with zero interceptions in the first two games. And then what happened? He's not very good. So he started playing like it. And that's what you have to hope the opposite of that happens this year. Kirk Cousins is good and plays better.
Yeah.
Because he can't play much worse than he played on Sunday. Simon is in Hiram. Hey, Simon.
Simon.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing today?
Hi, Simon. Good.
All right.
Hey, I'm 32, and I need some of Danny's energy. He said he was, what, 65?
Yeah, he doubled you up.
Man.
He doubled you up.
I'm sitting up here with an energy drink and some Adderall, and I still...
I'm just
kidding, guys. Okay. But anyways, I know yesterday y'all was taking some calls for people to kind of vent about the Falcons' loss. I'm not going to be a big Debbie Downer. I just wanted to say, man, my Georgia Tech boys let me down. The Falcons let me down. Hell, even my two fantasy teams let me down. And I couldn't hit a parlay to save my life.
Damn.
Boy, Monday morning came hit me like a freight train and all the bourbon that went down with it. So, man, I just wanted to really ask y'all if y'all ever had a weekend like where every possible team you cheered for or whatever you had going on, everything just went wrong as far as sports related.
Y'all ever
had that happen?
Yeah, we have
most weekends. Most weekends. Most weekends.
We live in Atlanta.
It's rough.
Thank you, Simon.
Hey, man.
One year, the first year I did sports radio was 2008.
Uh-huh.
The Seahawks went 4-12, fired their coach. The Mariners had $100 million payroll, lost 100 games. First team to ever do that. Happens a lot now, but first time to ever do that. The Huskies went 0-12, and the Sonics left.
All in the same year?
All in the same year.
Damn.
So, yeah, I've been there.
Damn, homie.
I've been there. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Been there.
Yeah, I can't go back and track everything.
But that year was
It just seemed like that right there. I don't want to compete.
But I got a job in sports radio.
I don't want to compete with that year.
Now it's a bad year. Yeah. All right, let's get the takeaway.
Yeah,
Our show heads into the final stretch. It's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Takeaway of the day, everyday rapper show.
My takeaway is that I love sports, Andy. It has done so much for me and my family. But I do not ever want to be as mad about a team as Danny was just mad about the Falcons. I don't want nobody to have that kind of energy over me.
I'll tell you
Danny
this.
Was hot.
I'll tell you this.
Yes.
Danny is not alone.
I know he's not.
There's a lot of people driving around out there the last couple days.
I just don't need that kind of energy in my life, man.
We're trying to be here for you.
Yeah, man.
We're trying to be here for you, but Danny is not alone.
Yeah, man.
My takeaway of the day is that lovemaking is hereditary.
Damn right it is.
It's in your blood.
What's in your blood?
Yeah, literally.
It feels good to sauce them ribs up. You definitely don't want them buck naked.
Yeah, man.
Awesome. You can get after the Phillies back in with those young guys. And try it at Walmart. Best place to buy Bush clothing.
40 is the new 40.
This is.
It is not the new 25.
It is. 40
is 40.
40 is 40. It's what you make it.
It is, man.
I'm happy to be 40.
I know you are.
Yeah.
Not everybody is.
I'm pumped. Look at me. I'm like the happiest guy around.
He's pumped.
Look at me.
Let's not go with the pump.
Smile on my face. I'm jazzed.
Not the pump or the jazz.
I'm gassed up.
Jazz.
Stoked. What else am I? Hyped, psyched. I'm fired up. See what Dukes and Bell have for you next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.